And welcome to another exciting episode of Kick Arts, Auckland's comprehensive art show, brought to you every Sunday night here at Planet FM 104.6 or live stream planetaudio.org.nz. I'll say that again slowly, live stream planetaudio.org.nz. That's louder. It would be louder if I had your microphone up, Georgia.
Nailed it. I was just giving you a compliment. I was saying that you did a really good intro.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Louder.
They should pay you more.
Yeah, they should. They should pay me
more.
Yeah, full stop would be fantastic. That would be good. That'd be good. But hey, we work in the arts, so I'm not asking for money or reward for my time or efforts. I just want the adoration of the audience.
Yeah, we'll
pay you. So thanks, Mum, for tuning in. That's really good of you. Thanks very much. So it's been a really good week, and we've got a full studio full of guests, and I really appreciate the fact you've come out on this beautiful summer nights, because I bet probably you're all at barbecues or at the beach or something, and then suddenly you have to pull yourself away to come on a radio show on a Sunday before the week begins again, and that's a bit of a bummer. Georgia, have you been to any barbecues this week?
No, I'm quite worried about my washing situation, actually, to be honest. I don't have a dryer.
I have to say, you're looking a bit flash for a Sunday.
It's because I have no clothes.
I know, and I was thinking, why is she dressed up this evening? And I think it's probably because you're wearing your work outfits now to kick out.
See, the audience won't know because they can't see, and guests won't know because they haven't met me before, but
especially trackies.
I'm always in jeans and T-shirts every single day, but I've run out of jeans and T-shirts.
Wow.
So you're in your Sunday best.
Sunday best. Well,
it's Sunday.
Yeah, it's Sunday. That's right. It is. I forgot, because that's why we're here. Because if it was Monday and we're here, that'd be kind of weird. Yeah. And there'd be people going, get out of my studio. So, right. Where to begin? So, Legacy Project has started.
Yes.
Yes, it has. And in the studio, we've got Ash, who's the writer of Clean Up in Aisle 3, which is, yup.
Yes.
And Hamish, writer of On the Experience of People whose life is Exactly Mine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I got that right, eh?
Bit of a wordy title,
yeah.
But you
said
that right.
Or Mine for short.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We were having a conversation about that in the green room, so how people shorten shows, like Les Mis and Cats.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah.
I thought Cats is just Cat.
It is.
Yeah. The Big C, I believe they call
the
it.
Big C.
Cats longer.
In musical theatre circles.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like John is short for Jack, or Jack is short for John.
Is it?
And it is,
Dick's short for Richard.
Dick's short for Richard. Mm. That's not very kind. Right, moving along. And Josie.
Hi.
Welcome. Musician.
Yep.
And you're releasing some songs at the moment on...
I'm releasing a single on... just a video single, just out on the internet. Yeah.
We're going to listen to some of your music tonight.
Yep.
Fantastic. You brought the whole band with you. They're waiting in the green room.
Yeah.
Setting up.
My whole 18-piece band.
Yeah, for the live. Yeah. The jazz band that's out there. Right, yeah, okay. Setting myself up for a failure. And Amelia and Belinda.
Hello.
From The Race.
Yes.
Yes, which seems like a very interesting project.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about it as well. And that's part of the Auckland Fringe.
It is, yes, yep. Coming up. We've got 17 days to go until 17. We open.
Go so quickly
I'm not
as
counting.
Well. No, you're not. 17 days, 4 hours, 15 seconds,
correct.
14, 13.
Yes.
Yeah, brilliant. And Legacy, are your shows on at the moment?
Mm-hmm, they
yes.
are, yes.
So let's start with you, because there's some sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not on tonight.
No, not tonight.
Oh, that's
on
lucky.
Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah, Tuesday to Friday next week.
Yeah. So, should we start with the Mine?
Mine, On the Experience.
Yes.
Yes.
So, let's talk about Legacy first. What is it, for those people who are not aware of what the Legacy is that part of, that's part of Fringe? Or is it a separate project?
It's actually part of the Auckland Pride Festival.
Pride Festival.
Which is on at Q at the moment,
yeah.
Primarily. It's, I guess, an event that aims to celebrate... new queer theatre, short form theatre, and there was a big process of writers coming together with directors and script advisors to develop some new pieces.
Fantastic. And speaking of the Pride Festival, I have to say it was a big shame about the rain and the big gay out, which is a highlight of my social calendar, and it was gone today just because of the rain.
Unfortunate.
They can't do it next weekend. Can't squeeze it in.
No. Yeah, Pride Festival. The Pride Parades.
Oh, is that next weekend?
Yeah, it's on Saturday.
Okay, I should know that. I've been doing my research, Georgia.
You should come with me in my flat.
Your flat what?
We're going to go because we live...
Oh, your flat. Right,
we're on Rose Road, so we're literally around the corner, and I cannot wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. It's going to be great.
You should sell parking.
We should.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. Or our guests who might be there, you could say, hey, look, get in touch. You can park at my house.
Yeah, apart from that, we have no spare parks. We would have to park on the road.
Oh, well, so does everybody else. It doesn't really help, does
we
it?
We could sell drinks.
You
lemonade.
Could.
Yes. Lemonade store.
Yeah.
So I'm here tonight to promote my lemonade store.
Right, back to you guys. When is your show on? What are the dates it's on?
So we start again from next Tuesday.
Yep.
So Tuesday the
13th.
Yeah.
And run through till Friday. And I think some nights are 6:30 and some nights are slightly later. All those details will be on the Q Theatre website.
And the title indicates to me that it's... You're reflecting on your own experience and talking about people who have a similar experience to you, is that...?
I think so.
It's
a slightly tongue-in-cheek
right.
title in that I guess the queer experience is such a broad category and I can only write about one small chunk of it. And so it's on the experience of my tiny little piece and hopefully some... representation of that on stage.
You want to talk a little bit about your experience?
Yeah. I guess primarily also what's reflected in the play is that it's sort of an exploration of the ambiguity and clarity and the kind of navigation between those two in everyday life of you absolutely knowing who you are as a person and what your identity is. And then the next day being thrown off that path and sort of attempting to search and find those answers. And what I've tried to do with my piece is literally present that on the stage. So if you as an audience member are at times very confused or at times the language makes perfect sense, that's kind of the idea, is that you are getting the experience of
yours.
Absolute confusion and kind of anxiety, or you seeing something that makes perfect sense. Yeah.
And was it hard to write your own experience? To lay it down on the page?
Interestingly, it came to me quite quickly on a night of three very quickly drunk rosés. I wrote the majority of the play that actually appears on the stage now in about 15 minutes.
Wow.
It kind of just shot out of my fingers and then I closed the laptop and went out to a party and came back the next morning and it wasn't terrible. So I pursued it a little further.
It wasn't terrible. Artists are so hard on themselves, aren't they, really? It wasn't. You could have actually said it was quite good. Was it quite good?
It was very raw, I think, and the process that I worked with Nathan Joe, who was my script advisor, and a bunch of actors, and Ash, of course, in the workshopping process, was to refine it and sculpt it and put a bit of the writing craft into it, yeah.
Josie, how do you write music? Is it the same process?
Yeah, quite similar.
Did you drink three glasses of rosé?
Yeah, I was just going to say, try that. Yeah, I never thought you could kind of have a great creative process from that.
I've written so many good songs on three glasses of wine.
Yeah?
And, yeah, but they are pretty terrible the next morning.
Shouldn't
though.
Be a go-to method all the time,
yeah. I guess sometimes I write songs from the end of songs. Like, I'll hear the end of a song and that end of the song, like, there'll just be chords playing and that will kind of trigger another melody from that last song that will start a new song.
Of your own music or music that you hear?
Just something on the radio that I'm listening to or whatever. Mm. Or, yeah, I definitely wouldn't just listen to my own music.
And what radio station does a musician listen to?
Oh, I think at the time, what was it?
You don't have to.
Oh, it's probably on Spotify or something, maybe, yeah. I do like Talkback, though. I do enjoy Talkback.
Oh, well, look, this isn't Talkback because no one's talking back, except Georgia often talks back to me, but that's my lot. But, yeah, it's Talkback doesn't give you much musical inspiration, or does it? Because actually, if I'm ever feeling non-politically motivated, I just tune into a particular radio station in the morning and I'm angry and I want to go on every protest that's available.
Yeah.
So does that help?
It depends on the Talkback radio. But, yeah. I mean, yeah, I like Radio NZ and, the national radio. I was listening to that on the way here. I think it's cool as well because it kind of inspires different concepts and different people's opinions can spark ideas for a song rather than just it happening musically first.
Is your music political?
What's that, sorry?
Is your music political?
No, it's not really.
Is it love songs? Is it?
Yeah, it's kind of like, what does it all come down to? Love, hate, and, those three things that, I can't remember what they are.
Taxes.
Yeah.
Taxes and religion. Sex. I don't know.
Like, basically, songs come down to three things, like love and something, but I can't remember what they are. Yeah. But, yeah, it's basically about, like, just life and love and experiences.
Do you share your own, like Hamish has in his play, do you wear your heart on your sleeve with your own music and your song?
I'm not really, I don't write, like, proper, like, I love you songs. It's more like, I don't know, like...
Country and Western?
I don't know, kind of, maybe more friendship-based as well, like, what happens in friendships and that's maybe it's a different kind of love that I write about, not just your lovey-dovey love, but other kinds of love in different aspects, I guess, yeah.
Now, speaking of country and Western songs, what's the title of your play again, Hamish?
On the Experience of People Whose Lives Are Exactly Mine.
That is almost a country and Western song title, isn't it? So. It's just a bit short, though, I think. So,
I'll work on it for next time.
No, only if it's a country and Western song title. It would be too short.
Yeah.
It's perfect for a play. How did you come up with that? Is it something that you want to express?
That was a very last-minute addition to it. And I think, like I was saying, it's very tongue-in-cheek, almost a reaction to some of the plays I'd seen in previous years, not only of the Legacy Project but other festivals and shows around New Zealand. And those festivals claiming to represent a wider spectrum of every different kind of community, not just in terms of gender or sexuality, and kind of the works that were in those not really doing that, being very niche, very mainstream. And so me reacting to that in a way of saying, well, I can only write about what my experience is, and I'm not going to attempt to negotiate any of the others. Yeah.
And that brings me to the race. So that's about experience of homelessness and people in Auckland who are marginalised, or in our society who are marginalised.
Yeah, it's this time round the race is looking at racism and how that affects homelessness and or not just homelessness. That's sort of where we started and where we come from, but not all our plays are about living in a cardboard box. It's just from where we started, but obviously experiences that come from the cast and the writing, because it's all their ideas, often come from that area. But this time we're looking at racism. So when the cast came to us this year and said that was the theme, we thought, okay, good, nice and light, and that should be fun. But they have natural humour, they're very, very dry, very funny, and so we use a lot of humour to tackle uncomfortable.
Tell us a little bit about the company and how it started.
Back in 2010, there was a couple of very clever women, producers, theatre professionals, Sally Barnett and Bronwyn Bent, and they had seen similar companies working around the world and thought that was fantastic, and they went to the Auckland City Mission and said, can we give this a crack? Because the City Mission does amazing activities, all sorts of activities, but there wasn't a drama club, and so the lady started that up, and 7-8 years on, we're all still involved in some way, and there's still cast members that started back then and are still going, and we all just keep coming back.
So how'd you get involved, both of you?
I arrived on these fair shores 2011 from over in Aussie, and my background is in expressive therapies, using drama as a therapeutic tool. And so when I heard about the play that was on that year, I went along and immediately sort of put my hand up and said, can I volunteer? And here I am, Belinda.
I'm a volunteer at the City Mission. I just live across the road, so I am often there, not on my rostered days. Otherwise, I would be miserable in my apartment. So I'm almost part of the furniture now. And one of my hobbies has always been drama. Back in England, I was did lots of musicals in England. There's lots, and almost every shire has its own musical society or a few musical societies. I emigrated here with my then husband and two little boys and one on the way. And they are now, my eldest boy is 25.
Gosh.
My next son is 24 and he lives in Germany, and my daughter's 21. And I thought, well, you know, it's about time I trod the boards again, and asked if it was possible for me to join the drama group, because I'm not, you know, a paid member of staff, but I'm sort of seen as staff. And they said, oh, well, why not? So this will be my fourth play with them. And even though I'm from England, my mother's Kenyan and my father's English. He's very Ginger Ed Sheeran. he is, yeah. My experiences of racism are quite different in some respects to the other cast members, because one, I'm much older than they are, and so it was, you know, a different era, and also because of the many different nationalities in Britain, it sort of swings and roundabouts. One week it's let's pick on the Chinese, the next week it's let's pick on the Jamaicans, and which is slightly different to the Polynesian guys in the cast. But I really, really, really love being in this particular company.
It sounds quite inspiring.
It is.
Now, you're not old, are you, Ash? I'm not saying that you're old.
I am. I am.
That sounded better in my head.
Yeah, I know.
What I meant was, you're part of a younger generation.
Well,
and so these kind of issues, if you...
Is that
that's still young.
Okay,
yeah, still
young.
I remember 30.
I remember 30. That's when I came.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Because, so if you're going back 30, you know, 20, 30 years ago, some of these conversations in theatre wouldn't have even happened. And if they did, it would have been quite a radical thing, really, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, to have a play about homosexuality, about coming out, about racism, about challenging. Mm. There were plays around, but they were seen as niche pieces as
That's
opposed
right.
to, you know. But how did you get involved with Legacy?
I saw the ad asking for submissions, and I submitted. I'd never written anything before. My background is songwriting and musical theatre.
Oh, wow.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, you'll forgive me. I've been looking to getting into writing because I really enjoy the lyric side of songwriting, so I thought I'd give it a go and, yeah, sent it off and...
Wow.
Yeah.
And what's your piece about?
My piece is called Clean Up in Aisle 3. It's quite a relatable piece, I think, to anyone who's been in a relationship that has ended. It's about being in the supermarket and seeing your ex-lover and having to establish a way of conversing after having been so intimate with someone before, and suddenly you have to act like a stranger, and sort of the baggage that comes with that. And then also it touches on the fact of breaking up, and what does that mean? Does that mean that you don't love the person anymore? Or does it mean there was a communication breakdown, or it was a choice? Yeah, and just challenging that idea of love, being like, I'm in love, I'm not in love.
Dems is some very hard conversations. Is it a comedy?
No, I like to think that it has some lighter moments. Because it is relatable, but no, I think it's quite a melancholy piece.
Based on your own experience?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Was that hard, again, writing about your own?
Not too bad. Yeah, and it's always nice with writing as well, because it's quite a personal thing that you do on your own, so it's quite nice to share it on paper and then not have to share it in real life. You can just put it out there and someone else runs with it.
So you just wrote it, 15 minutes, 3 glasses of rosé.
not quite. Yeah, a few days. Yeah, no rosé. Maybe some vodka.
Try it for next time. It's worth the effort.
Thank you. Yeah. Advice. It's amazing.
Did you, with the race, was that written in isolation?
No, we're still developing it. As I said, 17 days.
17, I was just going to say, 17 days?
It's fringe.
We've nailed the intro today.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Don't worry, everyone. Do come along. It's great. It'll
yeah.
We always work sort of in that collaborative way. Yeah. And we just build on what we've got each week. But we've got two amazing co-directors and a writer who's coming on board to help us shape it as we go. And we tend to get to the week before and then boom, it just comes together. And it's a unique theatre experience for sure. It often is quite raw, but our audiences just respond really beautifully and seem to love what we do. And it's that really different perspective that comes from these guys' voices that may not have ever written anything before or done theatre, and it's quite a new perspective, so we just run with it. If it's a bit raw, that's okay.
How are they involved with the mission? Is there a mixture of staff and clients?
Mostly clients, and that's how it started, but we don't say no to people, so when people like Belinda, who volunteer, come along and say, can I be part of it? Absolutely. But yeah, we've definitely got cast members that have used the mission services over many years, have been on and off the streets.
See, I never even knew that the mission had clubs and things.
Oh, it's got lots of clubs. We've got a dedicated activities coordinator, Jeanette. She's brilliant. She's a motorbike riding nun.
Yes, she is.
Motorbike riding nun.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best kind of nun, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a story. Maybe
there's a song. There's a song.
There's a song. Yeah. But she's wonderful. Yeah. She's really, really cool. And we have quiz night on a Monday. And it's so finely tuned now that it's usually two sheets of A4 printed on both sides, and there's lots of regulars that that come and do the quiz, and the quiz begins at 5 and we serve dinner at 6, and the stalwarts who are there sort of every week, they now, even if Jeanette's not there, they just come and they ask for the quiz sheets and they just sit down in the activities room and start completing it.
Without her there.
She's like upstairs organising the prizes or whatever. Yeah, and Friday mornings is carving club, and beautiful, beautiful carvings. Mm. I'm not sure if the clay modelling club's restarted yet. One of our staff members, Grayson, he is trying to set up a class that will, you know, suit whichever day most people want to do it, to either learn more te reo or just to converse in te reo. So it looks like I'll be starting that class.
It sounds like an amazing range of things.
Yeah.
As a songwriter, well, you could probably answer this too, Ashley, now. You could join in the as a songwriter questions. As songwriters, how would you feel if people devised a song around you and you put it all together? Would that work? Was it good? Would that be a difficult songwriting process, Josie?
I don't know.
Hugo, I don't know.
I think, yeah, I would find that hard. I think with music, I'm very control freakish. Yeah, because it's, you know, when you
create something. At least you own it.
Yeah, it's very honest.
I do own it.
Yeah, if you've already thought about it and you'd made all these choices and someone was like, let's do it like this. Yeah, which is interesting because that's exactly what I've just done with the play. It's yeah. Handed it over.
And like, I do enjoy co-writing as well. So maybe it would be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it? So maybe you should get to write a play musical. A musical?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Hang on, I'll check in. Here. Josie, do you like musicals?
I do. I
oh,
do.
God, I'm outvoted tonight. And you were in musicals.
But I am the only female in this particular play.
Oh.
So, you know, as more females.
Oh, yeah. You're inviting people in.
Yes. Inviting people in.
Who've got beautiful voices.
I had a question about the background of your performers. Do a lot of them, do they do drama at high school or have acted before? Or are they very new to this?
Very new. Wow. Yeah, very new to it. I guess in some ways when you're working on surviving on the streets, there's not much time for fun stuff, which is what we love about the Auckland City Mission, putting forward these activities. So yeah, very, very new, but bring amazing ideas. Mm-hmm. And because there's no other levels, it's just very honest, very raw. The stories come straight from them. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's
And this particular play, the reason we chose racism. One of the young men who isn't actually in this particular play, he was going to be, but he's got, you know, quite a lot on his plate at the moment. He'd had an incident with the constabulary where he got his head kicked in, basically. Mm. You know, so and that had a really big knock-on effect. For everything, and he ended up back on the streets for a little while, and we caught up with him, and it had been a really, really harrowing time for him, and so, you know, so we thought, actually, you know, racism would be something good to tackle, because from his perspective, he only got bashed because he was part Māori.
Mm. I thought, just picking up on that, I read a study, a media study, and it goes back to 2008, but I found it very interesting because it's talking about Māori representation in the media. And it took a sample of TV, newspaper, radio over a three-month period and how Māori were represented. Mm. And about 85% of reports were negative.
Wow.
And what I find quite fascinating is that they say, you know, whenever there's a burglary or a bank race, the man was part Māori. Mm-hmm. And it's like the part non-Māori part stayed in the car and waited while the part Māori bit did the robbery. Yeah. It's kind of almost what it's implied.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
that's
it,
right.
You know, it's that. So don't say he's part Pākehā or part...
Yeah. You know, no, you don't hear that.
It's really interesting. Mm-hmm. And that came through in that. It's a very interesting report. It's on a website called trc.org.nz if anyone's interested. So you're tackling kind of...
Big stuff.
Big stuff, really. Mm. I mean, how do you sleep? Do you worry about the world? Are you the sort of people that carry the world on your shoulders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think writers and artists of all kinds tend to be people that things affect us quite deeply. You know, we are aware of the world around us and that moves us emotionally or physically. We're compelled to do something about that.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's interesting because there's such a, and within that there's such a range of views too. Because if you look at the likes of Charlton Heston, who was an actor, old actor, older than 30, and
he was Moses.
Yeah, he was Moses. He's as old as Moses, but he was an advocate for the NRA. Mm. You know, a really vile advocate for the NRA. So, just I suppose with an artist, there's also different viewpoints, isn't there?
Yeah.
So. Have you come across that with the work that you do?
Yeah, interestingly, it was an interesting sort of pathway that one of the co-directors, Bronwyn, took a few weeks ago. I was sitting in on rehearsal. I'm producer, but I was sitting in on the rehearsal, and she sort of stop the group and set it. So we're setting our play in a te reo class, which can be funny, and at times is quite funny. And Bronwyn said, OK, at some point in the play, let's have some questions that are based on experiences that you may have had in your lives with racism, and then we'll translate them into te reo as part of the play, and then that might sort of, you know, trigger things for the audience or make it interesting. And then she sort of sat back and said, OK, and when you're thinking of those stories, it's not just racism that's happened to you. Think about when you've been on the other side, where you've made an assumption or prejudged someone, or and you know, me myself, oh, that's good, Bronwyn. You know,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. This play is not all one-way traffic.
Mm.
And I think we're all guilty of, even if it's just in your mind, of prejudging someone.
I think if anyone said they're not, or when people start a sentence with, I'm not racist, but, that's, you know.
Yes.
It's like, I'm not homophobic, but I'm not sexist, but I'm not a misogynist, but I like talkback radio. So a song, I've got up here on Bandcamp, and every time I hear that word, it reminds me of the movie American Pie, and I just can't get it in my head.
Oh, yeah.
It's just that time of Bandcamp. But what song? Because there's quite a, you've got quite a few songs I've got.
Yeah.
So Mount Dora, is that an album?
Yep, that's the album.
And so are you releasing a song at a time, or are you...?
That would be cool, but I'm just releasing whatever I get funding for.
Do you go through the New Zealand On Air process for a video?
Yeah, well, I got New Zealand On Air funding for the video.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, like by some miracle.
Obviously, it's quality work. So what was that process? Talk about that process.
Well, I actually... because I released the album in 2016, and then ever since I had the songs sort of, you know, properly demoed, I just... sent them to New Zealand On Air for like probably like 12 months, like maybe this round I'll get funding, you know, maybe this month, and then nothing happens, and then for like, I don't know, nothing happened for maybe like 11 months or and then I did a performance at the Silver Scrolls, and then the following month after that Silver Scroll performance I got funding.
Do you think there's a connection? That's a serious. Do you think there's a connection because you, your exposure, or they or somebody saw you and went, actually that's really,
I think,
good.
So, and I think because it's basically all music industry people that go there, so they would have been.
Is that one of those navel gazing awards shows? they're my words, not yours.
The Silver Scrolls, I think, is so much cooler than the Vodafone Music Awards, I think, because it's more about songwriting and you know, I think I definitely feel more honoured to perform there than. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. But you may be at the Vodafone Music Awards, and then that'll be interesting. If you get offered a paid gig at the Vodafone Music Awards, are you, will you take it?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, of course you will. So Mount Daughter is the name of the album?
Yeah.
But there's quite a few songs. Is there anything particular that you'd like to pick?
You could play, I don't know, My Secret Safe? I don't know.
My Secret Safe. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yep.
Song?
Yeah, so that song I just wrote about my friend who was going... See, friendship, you know?
Yeah.
My friend who was going through some issues, I think, and I just imagined that... It was a pretty easy concept, really. Just imagine that she went to this coffee tree every week or something and just downloaded her problems underneath that tree, and she would just tell her secrets to the coffee tree. Yeah.
Now, I haven't used Bandcamp on Kick Arts before, Georgia, so... So if I just push play, it's going to work, eh? We're not going to be sitting here going...
No, it'll.
Okay. So this is Secret Safe off the album Mount Dora, released in...
2016. May, yeah.
Again, the church is not my friend. Looking in the mirror, I'm afraid to see the scars again. Shuffling up the hill to lose some burdens I can't face today. On the path, the more book found my common sense. My secret safe.
Georgia, I really think you should get that off and shouldn't be driving. Oh, God, we're back on air. Sorry. God, I thought who turned the lights on? Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, it's going into the next one.
I should have mentioned that it does that.
It automatically goes into the next one. Yeah. You didn't tell me. That's the first time I use Bandcamp. It's quite good. It's good. It's you have to set up the page yourself.
Yes. Yep.
Does that take a look? Your page is beautiful. There's 13 songs. There's a lovely cover. Is it a marimba?
It almost is. I've just got a weird one where it's in between a xylophone and a marimba.
So it's a zarumba?
Yeah.
A zumba.
Well, it is a xylophone, but I think it's a few bars off from being a marimba.
Is it a glockenspiel?
Well, that's really small, aren't they?
Yeah, they're small and metal. Yeah. But I also have vibraphones on there as well, which are big in metal with a pedal.
So okay, wow. Journey into being a musician, you pick probably the most... You can't go camping with a zarumba and play around the campfire with it unless you've got a trailer. So what made you choose that instrument?
Well, I studied songwriting at Auckland Uni and then I just kind of saw them play the vibraphone in the hallways. And then I also started playing in a band a month before that was doing that small wooden xylophones. And then so it kind of all just conspired to be one perfect timing thing. But yeah, so I basically heard them at uni, played in the corridor hallway, and just fell in love with the instrument because it was so beautiful, like this vibraphone with the pedal and these jazz guys being like, and then you'd just be like, wow, it's filling up the whole space. And mm-hmm. then I was like, oh, my voice would sound great with that because it's just so pretty.
It's know? Rich mm. as well.
Yeah.
Really rich and deep, that music.
Mm.
And I love that song. It's, I think playful is the word.
Yeah.
You said yes. it could be children's music, but I don't know. It's a bit more sophisticated.
Yeah, sophisticated and, children.
Yeah. yeah. Sophisticated is the word I'd yeah. use without denigrating children's music, mm. which is, you know,
wiggly.
Got its own level of sophistication. Big red car. Big red car. So Auckland Uni, you can study music as songwriting as a degree.
Yep, popular music degree.
Is that, kind of new?
Possibly, but it might have been around for like the last 10, 15 years.
Which is new, really, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
If you think about it. I mean, studying drama and dance at high school is only 30 years old in this country, you know, and that was a bit of a shocker. Mm-hmm. What's your pathways into where you got to? Ashley, we'll start with you.
Oh, hello.
Hello. How are you? It's nice to see you. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what's your pathway into music? So you said musicals. When you were at school, were you involved with the school production? And
yeah. So I did singing lessons when I was younger.
Where are you from?
Dunedin.
Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of also contemporary dance that I made up. Maybe interpretive dance is the right word. And then, in high school I did musicals in the musical societies in Dunedin. Then I moved to Auckland and I went to Selwyn College.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a really good, or they did, I'm not sure about now, but they have
Did you
really
come up specifically for that, or did your family move here?
My family moved up here, yeah.
Warmer.
Much warmer, and I loved Selwyn because it was completely the opposite of what I'd had in Dunedin, and they have amazing musicals, and then after that I went to uni in Christchurch, a place called NASDA, which is like a musical theatre degree. That was really cool. And
was
then
it National Academy of Drama and Singing
and Dramatic Arts?
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. It's almost as long as your title.
almost, yes.
And then went on to songwriting after that.
Was that your aim when you were at NASDA, to go into songwriting, or did you want to go overseas and be in, you know, cats, meow?
I think I hadn't quite thought it through yet. I loved musicals and I loved performing. When I was at NASDA, I sort of realised that I wanted to create new stuff. And in my spare time, I was looking at new music and cool new musicals. And, I felt that impulse to create rather than just to, do. So then I went to songwriting after that.
Oh, you went to songwriting?
Then I went to Mains, which is up here, and did a songwriting course.
That's the Music and Institute of New Zealand. Yes.
Got it, yeah.
Is that still going?
Yeah. It is,
because it trains sound engineers and...
Yes, yeah.
Also, does it do a songwriting course?
Yeah, contemporary music performance. Wow. So, and now it's a degree as well.
Wow.
But not in my time, so,
God. 30, things happen so fast, eh?
It's been hard.
A hard road.
Mm.
Amelia, you said you were doing using drama as therapy. Were you trained as a therapist first, or were you involved with drama?
Oh, I played Christopher Robin when I was 5.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Have you seen the film?
No, I want to.
I would like to see it as well, but I haven't got around to it. The reviews were mixed because
might be a bit twee, but
twee is okay. I think there was a word that might have been used,
So anyway,
what a lovely story.
Yeah.
What a lovely story. Anyway,
Christopher Robin, 5. Yeah, I started 5. On the stage, same thing, in Canberra, Australia. And did all that, went to London, auditioned for drama schools, all sorts of things. And then
you've skipped through a whole lot of things.
Sorry.
There's no race here, you know. Oh, the race.
There's no race here.
At school, did you think that you wanted to be...
acting would have been fantastic. I don't have the skin for it. I couldn't I couldn't.
You've got beautiful skin.
Thank you.
I think she was talking metaphorically.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Whoops.
Musicians, eh?
metaphorical rhino skin of being an actor.
Yeah, I still got the chance to give you a compliment.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. We'll take a. We have a photo on our Facebook page.
Great.
So you can check out our Facebook page. It's Kick Arts on Facebook. And we always post the show after it, so you can download it and listen to it and share it with your friends. So we'll take a photo, a close up of Amelia's skin for you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's flawless.
Look at it. Anyway.
Sorry.
And she's blushing.
Yeah.
So do you
take compliments.
Is it hard? Do you think, in the sense that it's really hard to be an actor? Or
it's just really hard. I'm married to one who's done really well, and they still work 3% of the year. And I just think that's such a hard life, and I couldn't.
That's great working.
Well, being paid 3%.
Oh, right.
I just couldn't do it. And then I met an arts therapist while I was in Sydney working at the Sydney Opera House as a tour guide, and I hadn't heard of the arts therapy with an S before. And that sounded incredible, but within the next year I was enrolled at the University of Western Sydney studying expressive therapies. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and then specialised in drama because that was my bag. And, yeah, when I came to New Zealand a few years later, I got in touch with a drama therapist here, Paula Cremins, and, yeah, that's how we know each other. And started doing that. So I'm a drama specialist. I will classify that, not a therapist, and I'm still working in special needs schools alongside Paula doing that sort of thing. And then, as I said, I just heard that Hobbs Street Theatre Company had a play on K Road up above. There's a bookshop or a tea shop, and they've got in the tea shop there's a gallery upstairs, and they were performing there. It was a great space, and I went along and immediately sort of fell in love with the idea. And it was obviously along my line of thinking, because it is can be therapeutic for these guys, and put my hand up and volunteered.
Wow, that's very big of you. It is, to do that. Volunteering, it's just decreasing in New Zealand. You know, people. Oh, absolutely. People struggle to get volunteers for things. So what you're doing is fantastic. Kudos to you both. So your part, musicals.
Funnily enough, not in New Zealand. I haven't. I've sung in, I think it was our last play, but
it's not a criteria to be on the show. You don't have to like musicals.
No, but I do love musicals. I have to say that since I came to New Zealand, I have not lost interest, but, you know, with musicals in Britain, you know, there's a new one on the West End every 5 seconds, and
that's all they last only 5 seconds. Too many of them.
Yeah, some of them. Yeah. But there have been so many musicals, like Spring Awakening and The Book of Mormon and blah 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 and Wicked, and you know, I've just missed them completely. They've just, you know, passed me by, Stoke Youth. I'm from Stoke-on-Trent, which is like Pottery Town, and Robbie Williams, and he's coming on Wednesday.
Is he?
Yeah, and it's my birthday, so my son might buy me a ticket.
That was really subtle hint, son.
Maxwell, Georgia, Mummy would like a ticket to Robbie Williams, thank you.
They're going, oh, it's her birthday. Oh, I've got an idea.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're from Stoke.
I remember Robbie when Robbie was in. He played the Artful Dodger in Oliver, way before he became Robbie Williams.
Yeah. And he was Robert. Then.
He was Robert. Stage, yes, then. He was Robert. Get out of the girls' dressing room. But as I said before, every small town, there's an operatic society or.
That's a whole lot of people in New Zealand train too. So, I mean, you said in Dunedin. Where are you from, Hamish?
Originally from Te Awamutu,
Wow.
Waikato.
Yeah, I know where that is. It's on the way somewhere.
Cambridge, around that area. And I actually went south to Dunedin for university, so I kind of did the reverse of Ash.
Did you get involved in...
I did, the Te Awamutu Light Operatic Society, I think it was
As
called.
Opposed to the Heavy Operatic Society?
Yeah, that's up the road. not as frequented. But I think I did a couple of plays and The Wizard of Oz as a musical there back when I was very, very young.
What got you interested?
I think I've always... I'm other than writing, I primarily am an actor, so I guess that's kind of always something I've done, and especially creating kind of little skits and plays of my own work. But I think I've probably done it all the way through primary school, ever since I can, as young as I can remember, was always involved in those kinds of events. And then just kept following it all the way through high school and Hamilton Boys, and then down to Otago, and then I traversed all the way up to Auckland to do the actors program. So I've kind of followed it all the way through.
Was it hard in a place like Te Awamutu for a young man to get involved with drama? Because small town New Zealand's not renowned for its supportive nature of drama.
It's interesting, the Woolshed Theatre there is very popular.
Of course it is called the Woolshed.
Very in keeping. And I was very lucky that the primary and intermediate schools that I went to had a very, there was a play every year. They always had events going on. They had some very enthusiastic drama teachers who would... Uh-huh. You know, teach us during the day and then be performing in the evening at the Woolshed. So
it's dedication.
There was kind of a spirit of creativity that I kind of I grew up in. Yeah,
you all had supportive families in your careers. Mum, dad.
Yeah.
No.
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 Yeah. No.
Wow. Tell.
Gosh, let's go to the no's first and finish on a happy note. No. So, Josie, not...
I don't know. I never really felt like they were, like, stoked for me, but they never really pushed me. They kind of were like, oh, yeah, you just find your own path and we'll just... I mean, I suppose they supported, but they never really supported me financially or they... I suppose they gave... Yeah, my grandmother gave me piano lessons growing up, but I guess in terms of, like, writing your own album or, you know, writing songs, they never pushed me to do that side of things or they never really taught me what it meant to work hard as an artist or any, you know.
Are they a creative family?
Yeah, my mum plays the piano and sings, but, yeah, she's never really pushed her music or anything. But, yeah, and I grew up in Blenheim as well, so I'm from a small town as well. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, but I was always annoyed at them because I was like, you need to work hard to get places in life, you know, but I never really felt like they did that. Yeah, so I was kind of like, oh, I'm going to do that for my children. I'm going to tell them to work hard.
How many children have you got?
Oh, two.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
And are you telling them to work hard?
Well, they're pretty young, like one's 6 months and one's three.
Start now.
Yeah.
Start now.
Instill it in them now.
Yeah. You may be 6 months old, but crawl!
Move it!
You're never going to make anything of yourself unless you crawl. Here's your dinner, over here. Move it!
Maybe I should start now.
I can just see.
Character building.
Or an arrested mother in jail and sort of take the kids away. Is it hard to find motivation to go into... you're in a situation where you're working... It's quite sad, you know. Some of the circumstances, you talked about the circumstances of one of the gentlemen who was focused on by the police. Is it sometimes just hard to go to work? Do you find it hard to...
For me, no, because I'm a volunteer and I really enjoy being able to help our community in whatever way it happens to be, you know, at the time. It could be just giving them some toiletries or just listening to them, you know, whatever it is they've been doing that day. And I do. It doesn't make me feel good inside. Aren't I so good being a volunteer? It just makes me feel happy.
Yeah.
You know. And I can't help but smile when, you know, when I go, you know, when I go there. And, you know, some people have an off day, but mostly they're, as Amelia said before, they're just trying to survive. Mm. And they do, by and large, try and keep an optimistic outlook in such sort of pessimistic circumstances, really. I do. It's just part of I can't imagine my life without it.
Mm. And I suppose when you're giving, like, time of yourself, that would give you great joy because...
And that's
know,
it, yeah.
It takes the focus off you and it becomes about another person and then absolutely. You're like, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unusual to hear performers talking about taking the focus off them. Am I in my light? Is the light... So shall I move? Am I in the light? Yeah. Your appearance? Your appearance? Yeah, I'll try that sentence again.
One more time.
What? Are your parents supportive, Hamish, or your family? Your friends?
Yeah, I think so.
Is this full time for you?
Some parts of the year.
3%.
3%.
I think my parents always wanted some portion of me to pursue a more stable career. Mm. So I always did the sciences all through high school.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And I have a psychology degree from Otago as well as a theatre degree. So I kind of... Well, those things were really interesting to me as well. I use them a lot in my acting and my writing work as well.
Yeah. Understanding the human conditions.
Yeah.
Part of being an actor, isn't it?
Fascinating topics that draw an interesting avenue for inquiry or, you know, content for a play. And I think they always wanted both of those aspects, but were very supportive of my move to Auckland to pursue... acting full time with the actors program. Mm.
What year did you do that?
That would have been 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Which was kind of a big change around for me, but a really wonderful way to introduce myself to the Auckland acting and creative and sort of scene that's going on because, you know, Dunedin doesn't have the biggest of booming film industries. So it was a really nice way to make contacts and meet people too.
More so than Te Amuru, though, eh?
Slightly more. I'm sure something was filmed on location there, you know.
The Hobbit or something?
Yes. That's the Matamata hillside.
Right.
So, you know, somewhat closer.
I was actually joking. I don't know.
Yes.
It's the only New Zealand film I can think it's shot in the Waikato. So, yeah.
But yeah, that's my background.
Good. It's good that they're supportive. Mm. And now, how do you survive?
By making coffee.
Okay. And are you a good... So, okay, I always get... Anyone who's an artist, doesn't matter what genre they come from, if they're supporting themselves making coffee, where can they go to get a good coffee? Mm.
At the moment, I'm between...
Coffees.
Okay. Yeah. I was working at Aotea Square recently, doing a little Summer in the Square set up there, all the live music and those kinds of things, and I'm just shifting to somewhere else at the moment, so you'll have to wait and stay tuned and hunt me out throughout the city.
Right.
You'll find me.
Hunt out Hamish. It could be a new game on Kick Arts. Georgia.
Yeah.
A game on Kick Arts. Hunt out Hamish. Write it down.
Where's Waldo?
No,
I don't particularly want people attacking me in the street, but I mean...
Well, hunt in a good way of getting a coffee.
It's for the arts,
could
I suppose.
Could we reword it? Like, scavenger hunt for... Oh, no, that means we have to put out treats for people to find.
Yeah. What we could do is actually we could have a competition that if people find out where you are, I'll shout them a coffee.
Oh, wow.
Only once.
No. Only once, yeah.
Could you tell me where you are so
we can do that, yeah. I make a mean flat white, so I suppose if people are interested in that, we can...
Love a good flat white.
Wow. Otherwise, the tannery is a great place as well to get a coffee. Oh.
Tannery's so good.
It's good, eh?
I'm doing some stuff at Te Pau at the moment. And
cool.
Yeah. Yep. Tannery's good.
Awesome. Auckland City Mission.
Oh, yes. Really?
Very good place. We make a mean mission mocha.
Wow. So do you have a cafe that anyone can go into?
Well, it's a drop-in centre for, you know, we don't discriminate against anybody. You know,
tell me what you think about the two tourists. who went to the soup kitchen. It's all over the social media and stuff.
I purposely didn't open that article today. I don't think I wanted to read. What do you think of them?
I found it quite interesting. They found out that actually he spent most of his time in New Zealand. And that's his girlfriend he met at a woofing place in the Coromandel. And they decided, I mean, I like the concept behind it, you know, to be money free and try and survive and that. But if that means you're taking something away from somebody who actually really needs it and you've got your cash reserves for your trip across the ferry, then actually.
Yeah, I struggle with that.
I think it's a bit disingenuous,
it's a fine
actually.
Line. Like, back when I was living with my parents a couple of years ago, we had a woofer come and stay with us, and it was really nice for a little while, but he ended up staying for like 3 months or something and ended up getting really crabby, like real crabby with us. And he was doing that whole thing that he wanted to like make it around the world, just like living off favors from people basically. And we're like, that's really cool, he's gonna come, he's gonna do some work around the house. And then at last that lasted not very long. So when I read the article, I kind of left a bad taste in my mouth, like, oh, it's not like the idea of it is actually a cool idea that you swap things, it's give and take. But actually, when you're taking things off people who need it, that's not give and take.
Choice for an adventure. When it's a choice, that's your difference.
I had the same experience. I had someone come in the first couple of years. They just lay around the house doing nothing, screamed and yelled stuff. And then, you know, a couple of years later, they just kept staying. They didn't do any work. I had to buy them clothes and food and everything like that. You know, 14 years later. Right, go to bed, Josh. It's past your bedtime. But I'm not sure where that was going.
Come in tomorrow.
I was really confused. I was trying to think, who is this? I hope it's not me. I can be around your house.
No, I saw it, yeah. No, when you started talking about that, sorry. But you should be in bed. School night. Now I've completely lost my train of thought. Let's play a song. Let's play another one of your songs, because I really enjoyed that one.
It's
so
beautiful.
What are the options? St. Mary's Hospital. Is there a nun on a motorbike?
It's sort of a similar kind of thing, maybe. It was about when I watched the documentary of the Invisible Children. With Coney and all that, and I just watched the part where they had to walk from. I was talking about they had to walk from St. Mary's Hospital to sleep off from a mile from somewhere. It was ages ago since I wrote the song, so I actually have to try and remember what I was thinking. But yeah, they had to walk, you know, a distance at night to be safe from the child soldiers, That's what the song's about.
So the Invisible Children was about child soldiers.
Yeah.
That documentary.
That documentary is incredible for anyone who hasn't watched it. It's like blow your mind.
The Invisible.
You have to watch it.
And when did that come out?
It was ages ago, eh? Yeah.
It'd be a good, 12 or 13 years ago now. I remember watching it when I was really young, like... When I was four. No, I'm 25 now, so I would have been about 13 or 14.
Yeah.
And I just remember it really appalled me. And it really opened my eyes. And I remember I had all this money that I was saving. I got like $10 a week or something. I had like $80 that I had saved. I was going to buy an iPod, and I donated it all to like their Invisible Children charity because I was so moved by it. Yeah.
That's cool that you did that. Yeah.
I'm a hero. Not all heroes.
Shall we move on to the song now?
Yeah, that's
on that note. St. Mary's Hospital. Okay.
children, they play war games to improve their fight. All day they have no love, no conscience left or right. Every night at sunrise, my legs hurt again. I'd rather sleep so safely. I'm doing my homework in dim light on the damp floor, one blanket to sleep. But I fear to sleep, so I will walk to St. Mary's. Oh, I cry in my mind, 'cause when I think, my heart appears. And why is there no peace? And surely try, please, don't captivate me. Oh, I cry in my mind, 'cause when I think, my heart appears.
Again. Oh no, how embarrassing. Shame. I'm just getting used to working with Bandcamp now. Now I've got to, otherwise the other song would have kept going. Now, so you didn't tell us that you won the Auckland University Songwriter of the Year Award 2009?
Oh, it's because it's old news. 2009, you know?
It's still pretty a significant thing, I just like to say.
Yeah, I suppose it was, yeah.
And on your little blurb it says that you love the mountains and forests and ideally you'd like to live in Iceland for a while. Did that ever happen?
No, I'm still waiting for that dream to happen. You never know.
Do you live in Tauranga by any chance?
No, I live in Taupaki.
Oh, it's kind of close.
Yeah.
There's forests.
Sort of close.
And there's the Waitakere.
Yeah.
So, you know.
There's Bethels, yeah.
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 There's Woodhill Forest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Practically there.
There's no ice.
No, just no ice.
We can make that.
Yeah, it's just muggy and hot. Mm. Bearcat, the band, you still involved with them?
Well, we never really broke up, but he kind of just moved overseas and I had a baby and then it kind of just, yeah. So we still would want to keep writing music. But
oh, it sounds like something out of Ash's play. We never really broke up.
Yeah.
And I had a baby and he's moved overseas and... We'd be together if we could.
Yeah. Because, I so treasure those days. They're such great times.
Yeah.
But I guess it was just different circumstances in life. It was kind of like you felt the seasons kind of change and now we're in different countries and different parts
stages
of life.
Stages of life. Mm. Yeah. Because having a family really certainly curtails your career. I mean, imagine having a baby when you've got a job.
I know, yeah.
I was referring to our Prime Minister. Yeah, no. I was being facetious. I'm just saying. There were some concerned looks around the room.
It's nice if you've got a house husband.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Very good.
Or a housewife.
Or a housewife.
Yeah. Or a house partner.
House partner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a house elf.
Oh, that's right.
Don't like Harry Potter either.
Where are you going with this?
Just, I don't know. I was actually going to ask Ash whether that could be a theme. And does that kind of sound like your, that
Dobby?
Do you have a house elf?
I don't have a house out.
Okay,
no.
So we'll move on from that. Okay. I'll go back to the original question. That kind of idea of breaking up that you were referred to, those sort of circumstances when you're confused about what you do, when you break up with someone, do you think everyone can relate to that?
Mm. I think...
Oh, everyone's going, yeah.
I think yes and no. Like, I have discussed with some people and they're like, oh, my ex, I hate them. Like, that's plain and simple. Like, I feel no love for them.
Wow,
so
that's harsh.
Which has surprised me. But, yeah, I'm sort of more interested in the grey area. Like, yes, you hate them, but do you also love them? Mm. Like, you care about them. They're obviously a part of your family, even though, yeah.
Mm. I can think of a number that I wouldn't really care to see again ever in my life, actually. All those, we're going to do a show of hands, listeners. All those who've had relationships with people that they would rather not see again, put your hand up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you what the vote was. All those who love every one of the exes, put your hand up. Wow, that surprises me.
and was you kind of audible though, like the first show of hands, everyone kind of made a scoffing noise, and then the second show of hands just
dead silence.
Yeah,
because people going, yeah, whatever, not possible. It's a really interesting topic because it's funny how you move on from a relationship, and then when you look back at the past relationships, you wonder how you felt, perhaps what you felt for them, and then trying to reconcile that with where you are. It's just
I think. Yeah, that's a really interesting thought, like remembering how you were with that person and, almost that you were a different person. And, if you saw them now, would they still fit with you or,
How does that, how does that translate into a stage play? Is it, have you got a large cast with lots of different experiences or is it stories or is it?
So it's two actors on stage and a shopping trolley and, it plays out with them seeing each other, that immediate moment. And then it goes back into like a flashback, a reenactment of their life, sort of in fast forward, their journey together, generally going from like infatuation stage into the so-so and then sort of the breakdown of communication that once you take that infatuation away is quite problematic. And then... that decision or seeing each other and going, but I still love you. I still, what we've had, is that worth saving? And then they're making that decision whether they say goodbye in the supermarket and walk away and have that really awkward, strange interaction or whether they voice what they're feeling.
And next year you could write the sequel where someone starts to text again. Just because that happens. You see someone again and you go, oh, that would be, oh, I remember that was so nice. And then you text them and within about four texts you go, oh, that's right.
I remember.
I remember. Sam, you're nodding,
no,
Amelia.
No, I'm not nodding. I'm just making you feel better, Mike.
I was talking hypothetically.
You're so right, though. I've got so many friends, one friend in particular, who will not start contacting her exes. Oh. And it's just like, you know what would make you less miserable if you just stop doing that? Mm-hmm. Like, it's really easy. Just don't.
It's almost like setting yourself up to constantly be rejected,
but
like being an actor, really.
I don't know if it is that easy because people get so attached to their exes that it's hard to stop texting them because they can't let go of what they had.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly it, though, like that attachment, that it's something to do with like you and that I'm doing hand things that the listeners can't see. But, you know, it's like if you're self-reflective enough, then you can be like, oh, actually this is to do with me and not to do with them and maybe I should just not. Like, what am I getting out of this?
Or some people like to set themselves up for a bit of pain. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I think...
Is that explored in your piece?
No, I wouldn't say so. Yeah,
I think having seen Ash's piece, something that is touched on is the nostalgia at seeing your partner again and remembering initially those good times and going, well, of course we should get back together.
The rose-tinted glasses
of that, but having to force yourself to think about, no, these are the reasons why things didn't work and remind yourself of that so you don't hurt yourself in the process of seeing them.
Another thing that made me think further into that relationship is I have some friends who are polyamorous, and for them, like, there's no ends where their relationships, like, there's no end to the relationships. They sort of flow between each other, and it's not like that one-on-one needed attachment. One person gives me all my needs. And it's that, yeah, that idea, I guess, that that person, you've decided not to give them 100% of your time and your love, but you still love them. And, yeah, should there be a place where you can still enjoy each other, but not 100% they need to be perfect?
I don't think you should ever look to one person to fulfil all your needs anyway. That's what friends are for. And that's why you write songs about friends and friendship love.
Yeah.
Because they're an important part, aren't they? They fill...
Totally.
I don't want to say fill the gap, because it sounds like there's something lacking in a relationship. They provide stuff that just doesn't happen in a relationship, you know? That
totally.
You don't, if you look to your partner just to be the only person in your life...
Yeah, and especially if your partner is completely opposite of you. You need your friends to relate to and be similar with, you know?
Yeah. Or opposites attract, though.
Yeah, often. Yeah, totally.
My partner's an academic scientist.
Wow.
Yeah. And she hates it when I get together with her ex, for who was in the relationship before we met, because her ex and I get on so well that we have quite a similar sense of humour, and we give her a hard time.
That strikes on the wound, then, isn't it?
But what I like about that is that her ex is, you know, still a friend of hers.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think that's important.
I do think that sometimes, you know, depending on the circumstances of the breakup and blah blah blah, that if you can remain friends, the love that you had morphs into more of a
respect.
And it's, you love them more like a brother or a sister. And if that ex gets along with your new partner and the new partner doesn't feel any kind of threat. I think that's really, really, really nice.
Well, that's a good healthy relationship, because trust.
Yeah.
But this is not a show about relationships.
No, it's very, sounding very
gosh.
Call in if you have any issues. Yeah.
So we're taking a call from John and Te Ao Mutu. John, what, share with your panel what's it. Do you remember that? Oh, you probably won't remember that show. What was that show that was on in New Zealand television that was, there's a panel of women, and they used to answer Beauty and the Beast. And it was Selwyn Toogood, who's I don't remember, I was a child. I wasn't even a child, I didn't think I was born. I remember someone telling me about it. Selwyn Toogood, who was a broadcaster, and he had a panel of women who were usually radio personalities, worked on national radio, and that people would send in their problems and they would give advice.
Cool.
And he was the Beast, apparently. So she was the beauties. But it was a really interesting concept. Maybe we should start a new show, Georgia.
I was thinking, that sounds so exciting. God. Let's do a second show.
That would be brilliant.
We used to do the Room of the Date reviews.
That's right.
Which I realised today, I haven't done a date review in 9 months.
That's because you've got a fixed person.
No.
Georgia used to go and review shows and take a new date. And she would review the show and the date at the same time. Anyway, speaking of shows, we've only got 9 minutes left.
Oh, wow.
I know. So let's talk about these plays. So we've got, you know, supermarket trolleys, people, you know, will they, won't they? Is that kind of the end? You're not going to tell us the ending, eh? Because does it change every night?
Did you?
Oh.
But it'll be a surprise for you.
Okay. There's no possibility of a different ending? Did you ever contemplate?
Yes, I did contemplate. Yeah. I did think about that. But I think that would just be too perfect in rom-com. And I think the way life usually goes is it's never perfect. So I went with the melancholy ending.
So young and so cynical. Life's been hard.
I like it, though, because I felt like I grew up on fairy tales, you know.
Yeah.
And so then you have this expectation of, you know, these people, and then you're let down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is something my partner and I talk about, and she maintains that rom-coms are really bad for young girls to grow up watching. Because when they become young women, their idea, their expectation, and people spend their whole life wanting to get married and have this wedding that's perfect, and when it's not perfect and it rains and the hill breaks and your future groom forgets to turn up and, you know, those sorts of things. life's not perfect, it isn't, eh? And people expect, and I think it's, we set our children up a lot for disappointment by giving them, well, I'm still concerned about, even though he's real, I'm concerned about the Santa story, you know? Yeah. And I just, you know, because what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
But I do like the European use of St. Nicholas, which is what most countries had, well, not most countries.
Until Coca-Cola came along.
Yeah.
Oh, did I mention them? Sorry.
Yeah, brilliant place, isn't
it? Yeah, it wasn't, actually.
But it could have sounded like
it. It could have sounded like it. We'll take that back. Naughty them. So, your show is on Tuesday night at...
Q Theatre.
Yep. At a time?
So I think it's 6:30 on Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I think Thursday, Friday is 8 o'clock. But yeah, go on to the Q Theatre site too.
Yeah, sounds about
find
right.
Find out.
Yeah. Just Google Q Theatre and all comes up.
All the information will be up there.
And how long is what's the run of the show?
We started last week.
So. Oh, no, so I mean the duration.
Oh, an hour and a half.
Yep, with an interval.
No,
straight through. So six new works, and you get to see all of them back to back, which is really exciting.
So very okay, nervous. So all your work, so your piece isn't 90 minutes.
No,
this
short.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we've introduced a whole new avenue to explore. So we're just two of the writers of six, and new directors and actors who are all contributing their time to put on these shows. Quite a few of the actors double and play in several shows. So it's a really exciting, collaborative experience, and you sort of get 10, 15 minute snippets of all these different writers.
So it's like speed theatre.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get six shows in one night. Guys,
what a
six
deal.
Shows in one night at Q.
It's value for money.
There certainly is. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a fantastic... And these are new playwrights. Mm-hmm. You're new playwrights? Well, new in the sense of legacy. You haven't done... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think all new writers to the Legacy Project.
Yeah. So you've got some innovative new works to go and set. And so when's your play on in the order of six? Can you tell us that?
I'm number 3 and Hamish is number 5.
Yes.
Okay, so you're odd.
Yes, that's
you're
right.
Both odd.
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go. That
wasn't apparent already. I'm so sorry.
And so just a little bit about yours again.
Yeah, it's about... I guess identity and trying to reconcile that, and you know the way that you talk to your mum is the way you talk differently on the radio, is the way you talk differently to your best friend, and you put on all those different hats and realizing they're not separate parts of you, they're all the same part of you, and showing that literally happening on stage to my actor, one actor transforms through all these different personalities. Yeah.
Do you find it difficult to watch your piece on stage when you've written it? Do you sit there and go, oh, I could have done that differently?
Yes, yeah. Watching it has been really amazing for me because I've seen some bits that I'm like, oh, okay, I could have trimmed that down and could have been more succinct here. So, yeah, but very exciting to see something you wrote come to life.
For either of you, is the opportunity that you would take this piece and develop it into a bigger piece or another journey?
I think there's potentially room for it to develop further. It was a very quick writing process, 15 minutes, but we only had a couple months to get it up and running for the stage, so I think had more time been given to it, we could really, I know I could really develop it a lot more into a longer piece or explore other issues.
Yeah. Sounds fantastic. Yeah. Legacy Project on at Q Theatre. Go to Q Theatre, all the details are there for the show times. Get your tickets through Q Theatre. If I say Q Theatre enough so people know where it is.
Q Theatre.
Herald Theatre.
Yeah.
Part of the Aotea Centre, Aotea Live.
Yes, thank you to Auckland Live. The third time they've put us up in the beautiful Herald Theatre.
Wow. I get vertigo, so, you know. Yeah, joking.
No, yep.
So, quick premise.
So, quick premise. The race is set in a treo class. It's got a teacher and 4 class members, all from very different backgrounds. And that sort of sets the stage, as it were, to start exploring racism and how it affects us all. And it's not too heavy. Lots of laughs.
Is it humour?
Yeah, plenty of humour. That's what we live on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've Auckland Live, creative communities, super grateful. We've had lots of help. And then following, that's 28th February until the 3rd of March. And then we head to Wellington for our first tour and our first...
Oh, goodness.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
Wellington Fringe.
I was in Wellington last night.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't plan to be, but I got fogged in. So
yes.
Went for a lovely... When you're down there, do a walk around the waterfront. It's just... Okay. At night time, it's just beautiful.
Wow.
Absolutely beautiful. Wow. So that's 28th of February to the 4th of March.
3rd
of March at the Herald Theatre. Tickets available.
Yep.
Through Auckland Live.
Auckland Live.
Yes. Just go to the Auckland Live website and then they will let you know how to get tickets.
Yes.
And how long's the show? Oh, you don't know yet because you haven't finished writing it.
It has to be 50 minutes.
50 minutes.
Yep.
It has to be, wasn't it?
Well, there's another, Being Fringe is another play sort of shortly after ours. And
oh, wow.
That's what we've told them it'll be. So,
yeah.
That's what it'll be.
Okay, well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
At least you got the intro done.
Yeah.
Hi. Well, that was good, guys. Yeah, okay. What's the next bit?
We promise.
Yeah. No, what a great process and good luck.
Yeah,
and what a fantastic job you're doing volunteering too. Well done. Mm-hmm. Now, that sounded really condescending, but I did actually mean that from my heart. So, yeah. Josie. So Bandcamp, they can get... Is this where they buy the album?
You can get Bandcamp or iTunes.
iTunes?
Yep.
Okay.
But... Buy it on Bandcamp because then I get the money directly.
Oh, really? Yeah, so that's important, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you get most of the, like, a higher percentage of the money than you would from iTunes.
Yeah. And are you not on Spotify yet?
No, I need to be. Just one of those things you got to do, you know?
Yeah. In between feeding children.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yes.
Well, are you planning to ramp up your career again after the children go to university?
Yeah, I mean, it would be awesome too, but it's just, just taking one month at a time, really.
Yeah. And don't forget, crawl to get your inner child. You can do it. Come on, you're only 6 months old, but don't let that stop you.
Yes, I'm going to do that, yeah.
Don't.
I'll just savour the moment.
Yeah, just dream about it on those when you're really tired.
Yeah.
Fantastic songs there.
Thank you.
Hey.
Mm.
Yeah. Really good. And St. Georgia was the one that really wanted to get you on because she... Where did you see?
Well, at the rival radio station, I saw your performance on RNZ. Which was on YouTube, so people should look it up.
Totally, I support RNZ.
I'm about to spell out your name for everyone. J-O-C-E-E-T-U-C-K, Josie Tuck.
Yeah.
But just really, really cool, really fun. I really enjoyed watching it. So.
And are you on Facebook?
I am, yes.
So that people can go to Facebook and will you...
And like... They can like me and I'll be happy.
Oh, we all like you, don't we?
Yeah.
It's such... Facebook's such a hard thing, isn't it? Not enough people like me.
I know, so. It's so like, oh, what?
Yeah, whatever. That's great. Now I'm going to play out a song. Should we play the title track?
Yeah. What's the title track? do you mean like the... There is no Mount Darrell song. It's just the name of the album.
I think we'll just take it to the first song.
But I see.
You could do the single that I released.
Okay. Oh. Is that here?
Yeah. Made to Be.
Made to Be.
That's the RNZ performance as well on the YouTube too.
Oh, I can't find it.
Is it on the...
It should be on Bandcamp.
On Bandcamp?
Yep.
Well, I can't find it, so I'm going to have to play... Oh, found it!
Oh, good.
Yes. Made to Be.
I could just sing it now. No.
You could. Do you want to?
Because you and me... No, I won't.
Okay. Hey, Ashley, do you want to sing us something?
I'm okay, but thank you.
We want to really hear you sing.
Yeah. No.
I just won't.
Wow. Yeah. And people, no means no.
That's
okay. So Made to Be off the album Mount Dora, which the song doesn't feature on the album Mount Dora. Maybe you could release a single called Mount Dora just to clear things up for people. So that would be really good. People like me who expect it to be on there. Made to Be. Hey, thanks very much, everyone, for joining us here on Kick Arts for another great show. Thank you to all our guests. Good luck with your projects. It's been an awesome, awesome night chatting with you all. You've been loads of fun. And we'll be back here again next week, of course. We're here every Sunday night from 8 o'clock to 9:30 p.m. Coming up after us, don't forget there's a new show started about books from Auckland Libraries. 5 minutes after us, you should catch it. It's awesome. I keep meaning to mention it after the show, but I never get around to it. But I'm mentioning it now. So if you're looking for books, things about books, stay tuned. Your Language, it's called. It'll be there for you in 5 minutes' time. Like, we'll be there in 5 minutes' time. You can download us from Facebook and share this show with your friends and your enemies if you didn't like us. So that's all good. I've been Richard Green. That's been Georgia Parker. And we've been Kick Arts. Go out there this week and kick some arts.